This episode is supported by Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I just randomly, Vinny was having a toe skin irritation issue, and he ended up having this like skin that was really irritating him, and it was getting kind of like icky, and you know, like when kids start to get like little scabs and scratches and then they want to pick at it, and it was getting worse. And so Active Skin Repair showed up on my doorstep as a result of the sponsorship, and I got to put it to use immediately. And I got the ointment formula, or the like ointment formulation, and then also the spray, and the spray was perfect. So Vinny does not like ointmenty, creamy, lotiony things on his body, but I was able to get out the spray, literally took it out of the packaging the day it arrived, put it on his toe before he went to bed. And the next morning he was like, "Mom, my toe's all better." It was literally like this super amazing cure that helped his toes so quickly. So you can use Active Skin Repair on a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, other types of skin damage. It's totally safe, non-toxic, suitable on all types of skin, even parts of the body where you might have rosacea or eczema or have acne-prone skin. This is also safe for the youngest members of your family up to the oldest. So now you have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews and super safe and clean ingredients, Active Skin Repair is something that you want to have on hand for your family. So to get your own Active Skin Repair, go to activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code SHAMELESS. That's activeskinrepair.com. Use the code SHAMELESS for 20% off your order. activeskinrepair.com, code SHAMELESS. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 631, with Margaret Abels and Amy Wilson. Show notes for this episode, including any links mentioned in the episode, can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 631. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean. I'm here to give you and other passionate, driven, unapologetic moms tools, resources, and a little bit of humor to help you lead more positive, powerful, and purposeful lives every damn day. One of the best things about the Shameless Mom Academy is our community, so be sure to join us in our free private Facebook group to connect with other shameless moms just like you. You can find us over at shamelessmom.com/Facebook. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Margaret Abels and Amy Wilson are comedians, mothers, and the hosts of the podcast What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. What Fresh Hell regularly ranks at the top of the parenting and kids and family charts on Apple Podcast and has over 5 million lifetime downloads. I am chasing them down to hit my 5 million. In each episode, Margaret and Amy discuss a parenting topic from their usually completely opposite perspectives. I'm going to tell you about them a little bit individually, starting with Amy. So Amy Wilson is the author of When Did I Get Like This? The Screamer, The Worrier, The Dinosaur Chicken Nugget Buyer, and Other Mothers I Swore I'd Never Be, and of Motherload, a one-woman show which she toured to 16 cities after its hit off-Broadway run. She also appeared as a series regular in two sitcoms, Daddy-O and Norm. She and her husband live in New York City with their three kids. Margaret Abels is a comedian and writer whose work has appeared on MTV, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, and PBS. Margaret created television shows for Klasky, Supo, the creators of Rugrats, and was the head of video production for Nickelodeon's mom-centric channel, Nick Mom. Margaret also teaches improv and public speaking at correctional facilities for the nonprofit Rehabilitation Through the Arts. She and her husband live in Westchester, New York, with their three kids. I met Amy and Margaret via our mutual podcast editing team. Shout outs to Christy and Allison. Christy had a sense that we might all hit it off, and of course she was spot on. So I've gotten to get to know Margaret and Amy a little bit over the last few months, and it's been so much fun. We are definitely like-minded in a lot of ways, but what I most appreciate about them is that, and about all of us, I think, is that none of us take ourselves too seriously, which creates for a lot of fun and like good banter and just good juicy conversation. So when you listen to this conversation and decide that you love it, because you will, you're going to also want to go make sure that you subscribe or follow and then rate and review What Fresh Hell wherever you listen to podcasts. And we did a podcast interview on their show that's going live the same week as this episode. So you can listen to us all week long. You're welcome. Listen in to hear Margaret and Amy share how they came together to create What Fresh Hell and how each of them bring their unique strengths to create support for parents, how parenting changes and evolves over the years, why we don't need to fear or resist the constant growth that parenting provides, why new ventures and uncharted territory feel so big and daunting as we approach them in parenting, but then so much smaller, even as we're working through them indefinitely in hindsight, how parenting problems change over the years, i.e. little kids equal lots of problems that are easier to solve, and sneak peek, big kids equal fewer problems and they're harder to solve. They also dig into the difference between easy parenting and satisfying parenting, which I thought was a super interesting part of this conversation. And lastly, we talk about what satisfying parenting looks like and how it can look so different than what you expected. So I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. I think you're going to have a lot of fun, probably have a few good laughs. So with all that said, let's go ahead and welcome Amy and Margaret to the Shameless Mom Academy. Margaret and Amy, welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I feel like this has been kind of a long time coming. I'm so glad that we're all in the same room, that we're all in the same Zoom screen.
We're all in the same Zoom room.
Right.
Zoom room. It's all the
same. Isn't it the same thing? It's all the same.
Sadly, I know. Like, sadly, they are the same in a lot of ways. Not the same in terms of like the great feeling at the end of the experience, but
like leave meeting, right?
Like, yeah, where you're like, wait, like, should we hug? I'm so excited that you're here, though, because we actually have the same producer. So first, we just need to do a shout out to Team Christy and Allison, Team Podcast. Yes. They take such amazing care of us. And they introduced us. And then after they introduced us, we were all like, why didn't we all know each other before?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I always ask my guests what you're up to kind of beyond your bio in your personal and professional life and what you're most excited about right now. So I would love to have you each share that little bit of info on yourself. Amy, why don't you start us off?
I am just kicking off working on a book, actually.
A book?
Yes. A memoir and essays. And it's about women who have too much to do, of which I am one. And I've been one.
Not
for
relatable
my entire
at all.
Life. Yeah, exactly. This book is for every woman with too much to do. That's my goal. And it's going to be sort of funny with a point. That's the my North Star for everything that I do, and relatable, but not prescriptive. And I'm really excited to get started and, of course, daunted with how you fit it in around everything else you have to do. But it's what I'm curious about my own life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not writing about the history of popsicles. It's something I'm truly curious about. So I look forward to finding out.
I love that. I keep waiting. I'm putting this in air quotes, waiting until I have time to write a book. And I'm learning from everyone around me who's currently writing books that that's like waiting to have time to work out. Like, the time never just appears.
Or waiting for the right time to have children. I'm always like, just go for it. This doesn't ever gets any better.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. You just make the time.
Exactly. Margaret, what about you?
I am working on a podcast with Amy while she writes a book. So I guess I'll be doing a lot of podcast work.
You do a lot of teaching outside of, podcast.
I'm a teacher outside of podcasting, and, you know, managing that during the pandemic has been a constant roller coaster. What's open, what's closed. And so we're just getting back into programming. And
what do you teach?
I teach actually in an arts in prison program. So I teach theater within the New York State prison system.
Incredible.
It's an interesting job.
I will toot Margaret's horn and say that the work that this program does is incredible. And I've been greatly privileged to see some of it in person myself. And it's remarkable.
So cool. I have to say, when I read, because I read that about you in your bio, Margaret, and I was like, I thought I knew her. I did not know that about you. And
it's
what an incredible role.
Definitely a strange side role, like also in the prisons. So it is a rehabilitation through the arts. It's an amazing program that I'm really honored to be part of.
And has the program been able to be functional or operational during COVID?
It's ridden the wave of shutdown. So we've been in the early phases of the pandemic, we were shut down for probably close to a year. We were back in programming, and then we had to shut down for about 7 weeks during the Omicron surge. Mm. And so, you know, like everything else during this pandemic, you just have to kind of stay ready and wait for word. And so we just, in fact, last night was my first night in about 7 weeks. So it's good to be back.
Oh my gosh, I bet. Okay. Oh, such good stuff. I'm already like all inspired and lit up. So I want to know about your show. So your podcast is What Fresh Hell. And it's funny when our producer, Christy, reached out to say, I want to introduce you to the ladies from What Fresh Hell. I was like, I want to know, like, whoever these people are, this is the name. I know we're going to be friends. So can you talk about how the two of you came together to birth What Fresh Hell? And what was the inspiration behind the show?
I mean, the inspiration, I had been working at a kind of creative job in a corporate world and doing video development. And at some point, Amy and my sister were in a comedy group in college. And so I knew her as a teenager. And then as our paths, we were both kind of in entertainment in Hollywood for a while. I would see her on TV. We would see each other at events. I don't know. We were always kind of intersecting, but I didn't know her well. I would always think, oh, that's Amy who went to school with my sister. And then when we had blogs at the same time, we just always intersected over the years. And then at a certain point when podcasting started, I thought that is a good extension. I had young kids. I was home kind of figuring out what was next. And I kind of cold called Amy and I said, hey, do you want to have a drink? I have a little idea I'm kicking around. And I said, how about a podcast? What Fresh Hell is an expression. It's not original to my mom, but she used to say it. It's a Dorothy Parker expression, but she used to say it all the time. Like, what fresh hell is this? Meaning like every time she had four kids and every time she opened the door, it was like, is it going to be paint on the ceilings? Is it going to be two mm-hmm. kids wrestling? And so I said, I have this idea for us to do a podcast called What Fresh Hell, where we just talk about everything that's funny and hard and challenging. And then Amy, who is much more research oriented, I was like, we'll just talk. And she kind of dove in on the side of, let's not just talk though. Let's actually figure some stuff out and offer solutions. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of brought our two parenting sensibilities, myself much more like, I'm sure it'll work out. Let's just fly by the seat of our pants. The kid's missing for half an hour. He's bound to turn up somewhere. And Amy brought a different perspective, which is much more like, I have read 17 books and I have broken them down. And here is some things we can actually try. And so the podcast kind of came together really organically, like two moms with different parenting styles coming together. And I have to say, it's been a joy. We've learned so much from each other and it really has made my parenting better. And we hope made our audience get a little relief and also learn something, maybe some tactics to make parenting a little bit easier for themselves as well.
Absolutely. Do you want to add to that, Amy?
No, I mean, I guess I would say that it was a sort of, you know, Oprah moment that I was having, like, ask the universe for what you want. You know, I was having a moment of that. I'd come out of a couple of collaborations working with nice people, but kind of like helping them do what they wanted to do. You know what I mean? Like, I was like the right hand man helping somebody make short videos that were really that person's dream, or helping somebody try to self-publish a book that was really that person's vision. And realized like, I want to work on what I want to work on. I worked on a novel by myself, didn't love working by myself either. I wanted the accountability and the partner. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to work with the partner, but it's going to be something I want to do that we're creating from the beginning. I'm not coming aboard to help. And I'd like it to be a woman this time. And I swear to God, like Margaret called me like 4 days later, do you want to do a podcast? And I was like, okay, you know, I think this is the knock on the door I've been waiting for. Could never have predicted. It was just like, let's just do this to have fun. Let's just see where it goes. Could and never have predicted what happens next. Yeah, and I mean, we're in the fifth year.
That's what I was just going to say. I couldn't remember when you launched. Okay, so you're in your fifth year. Do you remember your official like launch month?
It was like 3 weeks before the 2016 presidential election.
October, so it was an interesting 2016. Time. Yeah.
Okay, so I was March 2016. I didn't realize we were that close. Oh my gosh. So fun. Okay. I also want to know birth order. Where are you each in birth order? Because I want to know how this...
It's everything you need to know. Can you guess
right, if exactly. I'm the one? Okay, so I'm guessing Amy's the oldest.
Yep.
Now, Margaret, you're either second or third.
I am younger middle. So there's four of us. I was the baby of the family until my interloper sister came in 5 years later. We're 3 and 3 years, my brother and sister and I.
Okay.
And then I was the youngest for my childhood. And then when I was 5, much to my chagrin, another baby arrived, and that's my little sister. So I had my time in the spotlight as the young, cute one, and then I was cast out of paradise, and now I'm just the boring lower middle.
Oh my gosh, I'm dying. I love the dynamic because I think this is what makes for like such magic in conversation and in creating art together is that all you had to do, Margaret, was say, if my kid gets lost, they'll turn up, and then say, Amy read 16 books on parenting. I'm like, oh, we have like definitely like a middle or youngest and an oldest right there. Yep. And I'm an oldest. Wrong. So I'm like, I'll read the 16 books and tell you all, like, I'll give you all the knowledge that you need to solve all these problems because I'm going to make sure that it's all taken care of because that's what the oldest does.
And it is nice to have a conversation where you're coming from really different places, and people often describe our podcast as two best friends talk about parenting. And it's interesting because when we started this project, Amy was someone I vaguely remembered from my sister's college. You know, we knew each other, but when we recorded our first episode, I had to ask her, like, how old are your kids? What are their names? I didn't know anything really about her life as a mom. Now, obviously, we're business partners. We probably talk to each other more than we talk to our husbands. We are really close now, but it's been a fun journey of like, because it's made the conversations, I think, very, very organic in terms of like, hey, what are you doing at your house? I actually don't know how you parent. I don't know your systems. And so it's been a fun process of kind of getting through that.
I agree. And the optimal approach to something, which of course I'm the first, I'm totally interested in such things, but the optimal approach I think is generally, and I'm going to say, you know, it's about every single time it's right in between. Like if I think we would come to these early episodes and I would have no idea what Margaret was going to have to say about, should you help your kids with their homework or not? For example, I really wouldn't know. I had a sense, but I would be surprised and she would be surprised. And we would come to I think these are the takeaways that was always neither what I had started with nor what Margaret had started with. And that's a good way to approach things, right? To stay curious.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, and it creates, in my role as the oldest, it's funny that you say the word optimal because there's a lot of things that I think are optimal and I'm pretty sure I'm always right about what's optimal. And so if you don't have someone to check you to be like, there's actually some gray in there, like maybe there's more than one way that could work well instead of the only optimal way that you read in 16 books, I think sometimes we can get into dangerous parenting territory without having someone to pull you a little toward the middle. If you're that older type A, perhaps a little control freakish, just speaking for me, Amy, not for you. But if you're in that area, having someone pull you a little more toward the middle, I think can be really, really helpful. And I'm sure, Margaret, you appreciate someone giving you some structure and rules as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really do. I tend to be a little bit dismissive of things and perhaps a little anti-authority and, you know, I'm too cool to, you know, know where my kids are. And it is nice to have, I really always say, I have tremendous respect for people who are able to change their minds and be open-minded. Yeah. And that's an exercise that this podcast has brought to both of us, I think. Like, can I hear something that someone else is doing and integrate that? And I mean, I can give you a list of 40 things that I have changed about the way I parent based on things that Amy has introduced to me, and hopefully vice versa.
Absolutely.
That we are really learning from each other. And that is, I think for the audience, that's a really nice experience to hear people say like, all right, let me actually try to approach this problem as if I don't have all the answers. And that maybe these experts have all the answers too. But if we bring all these minds together, there's probably something here that could help almost everybody in this conversation.
Yeah. This episode is supported by Mysteries About True Histories, a podcast for your kiddos. So from the creators of the hit podcast, Who Smarted, and Netflix's Brainchild comes the adventurous world of Mysteries About True Histories, affectionately known as MATH. Every episode follows Max and Molly, who have just been recruited into a secret order of problem solvers, on an adventure through time packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs, making learning cool. This podcast is perfect for ages 6 and up, and new episodes drop every Thursday, each stacked with so much laughter that your kiddos won't even realize how much they're learning. I love a show where as a parent, you're like, hey, let's listen or watch this or whatever. And your kids are thinking they're like getting extra device time or what have you. And you're like, they're learning right now. So it feels like such a big win. So I want you to go check out Mysteries About True Histories wherever you listen to podcasts. You can tune into Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you're listening to this podcast. So go check out Mysteries About True Histories to listen in and have some fun with your kid while they learn today. This episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert, Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explains. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. It creates such a personal growth. Parenting is like the personal growth journey that you don't know you're walking into. Like, you think this is just going to be about like raising this child and getting them through some stuff, but it's ultimately also about getting yourself through a whole lot of stuff because you have to get to know yourself so well and check yourself at every turn, which can be really uncomfortable. So this changes and evolves like constantly. And so as our kids are changing and evolving, we're changing and evolving. And I think when I think about my tolerance to unpredictability and uncertainty, when I had my son, it was real low. Luckily, he expanded that greatly for me, which probably prepared me for the pandemic. Like, I was able to shift gears in the pandemic because I'd had a newborn at one time and I could control nothing. So can you talk a little about, or let's all of us talk a little bit about how parenting changes and evolves us over the years? And why do we maybe need to step away from fear or resistance to the growth that parenting provides?
Well, there's something in the Talmud. I am not Jewish, but I have had this explained to me by somebody who is a class that I took, that our children are sent to earth to challenge us. And the ways that they challenge us are exactly the ways in which we need to grow. So when your kid is pushing your, you know, every button you have, it has helped me in the past to be like, okay, this is a way that I need to grow. What a gift that this child is giving
right, a gift.
By testing my patience. I'm impatient. Oh, like what a gift this is. Now, I mean, I'm not a saint, but that does help me to think like parenting challenges us, but it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is the ultimate or one of the ultimate humbling experiences. I often say that even though I knew children and was a child, I somehow still, and I had my first child at 37, so I wasn't like a real baby going into this, that I still had an image that a child was like a lump of clay you were handed to mold and form into the kind of person you wanted them to be. And it was a fairly shocking experience to be handed a actual human being instead that had their own will and their own agenda and their own way of doing things. And it is humbling, but I think I have found through the podcast that being open to being humbled by it is just a much less painful way to do it than constantly trying to shape clay that is not actually clay, that is actually a human.
Yeah. I find myself a lot going back to a Brené Brown quote that I don't want to be right. I want to get it right. And for me with parenting initially, I was like, no, I want to be right. I'm here to be right. Like, I'm really smart. I'm older than this thing, this lump. I know more things. I've read the books. I really wanted to be right. And then when I had a child who perhaps has the same temperament as me and was not going to do things my way, but was only going to do things his way, then I was like, oh, now I just have to get it right. And I don't get to be right. And that was really, really hard. And so when we talk about that opportunity to grow and that opportunity to evolve, the opportunity to constantly practice patience and learn from them instead of thinking that we're supposed to be teaching them all the things, like really create that space for them to teach us the stuff, is equal parts very maddening and also really, really helpful.
Yeah. I say a lot on the podcast, when I had my first baby, I was talking to my brother, who's a father of four. And he said, how's it going? And I said, good days and bad days. And he said, well, have some more kids. Then you can have good days and bad days on the same day. And like, we each have totally. Three children. And it really is. I mean, every time you think you got it figured out, another human with a completely different set of needs and wants and operating systems walks in. And I think it has really, although I am kind of laid back in a lot of ways, I don't think that matters. I don't really care about the homework. I'm also very, I can be very authoritarian as a parent. Like, I'm not going to put up with this. And this is how we're doing things. And it's my way or the highway. I come from a long line of pretty strict Irish ancestors. And, you know, we don't put up with nonsense, but letting go of some of that stuff as well. And really kind of, we use the metaphor, you're not driving the boat. Like, you're not even in the boat. They're in a different boat. You're just yelling instructions from the sidelines.
Totally.
And I think that that whole mind shift of, oh, I'm really just the wind in the sails, and they're going to have to figure out how to sail it. You know, it's a complete mind shift for me.
I'm not even sure you're the wind beneath their wings, right?
Yeah, you're just also in the wind.
Yeah. It's a windy day. For you and them.
Yep.
Yes.
100%. This morning I was walking my son to school, and yesterday morning, as we were about to walk out the door, I noticed that he had like two brown spots on his pants, one near the crotch. And I was like, what's on your pants? He's like, oh, I got chocolate on them. Why are you eating chocolate at 7:50 in the morning? And so I was like, we have to go. Like, you don't have time to change. You're gonna have to wear dirty pants to school. So he wears his dirty pants to school. This morning we're walking to school and I looked down, I'm like, why are you wearing the pants with the chocolate on the crotch again? Like, we have five other pairs of khaki pants. He's like, because these are the ones I like the best. And I wanted to turn around and be like, we don't wear dirty pants to school. And then to your point around, like, I'm not even in the boat. I was like, you know what? If he wants to wear pants with chocolate on the crotch, he can be responsible for other kids being like, dude, what's on your pants? And if the parent or the teacher, I'm like, of course I'm thinking, I'm like, the teacher's going to think I'm such a bad mom. I was like, you know what? She has three kids. She knows. So off to school he went with his chocolate in the crotch uniform pants.
That's something I've definitely learned to let go of, is like, I need this pediatrician, this dental hygienist, this school nurse to think that I am the most attentive and correct parent they have ever encountered.
Yes.
And so is my child, by the way, really just the most well-behaved and rational. Like, you know, that way madness lies to worry about, like, but what will people at school think about a child with chocolate on his pants? Like, probably not that much, right? But letting go of, but what will they think about me is a way to more peace.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about uncharted territory in parenting, which is could be any given day. Sometimes we know that uncharted territory is coming. So we have a big transition coming up, or we have a big new opportunity coming up where maybe a child's going to sleepaway camp or changing schools. But then we also, like, uncharted territory, Margaret, to your point around like three different kids walk in into the kitchen within 3 minutes, and it's like three whole different uncharted territories at once. Can we talk a little bit about why that feels so daunting? And then the hindsight of those moments where we're like, that was fine. And I can give a quick example. My son had teeth pulled a few days ago, and I was really panicked about him because of COVID. I couldn't go back in the room with him. And in my mind, I was like, but he needs me to hold his hand. All this conversation is showing you all is how codependent we are, or I am. So I'm like, he's going to need me to hold his hand, especially during the Novocaine. And at the dentist's office, they're like, he'll probably be fine. I was like, tears in my eyes, like, okay. And then he goes back there. He's in there for 20 minutes, gets two teeth pulled. He comes out and he's like, yeah, like, we're getting ice cream now, right? And I'm like, but I thought you were going to need me. He did not need me. So this is like, we go into this thing where I'm panicking about, like, how can I be there for him? And then in hindsight, I'm like, that was a non-event.
It can go the other way. Like, so my child, totally. I have a high school student who recently had to go to the dentist. Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing. Like, it's COVID. Like, do I have to go back? Like, no, I don't. And I was more like, it's fine. This kid is not going to need me. And then the kid did. Then I ended up, I did have to be in the room for reasons that are his and I won't get into. But it's sometimes it's easy to guess wrong the other way, too. Like, you got this, right? And then they're like, can you help me with this? I have older kids, so I'm starting to make that error on the other side. Like, you can walk home by yourself. Actually, can you come get me, mom? And I don't think that's ever a bad thing, but that assessing that doesn't stop. It just sort of flips. All of a sudden you're like, how much independence is okay? My oldest kid, I have a college student who just today was texting me. He bought tickets to go somewhere with his friends, and he bought the most like cockamamie 9.5 hour connecting through Detroit.
This itinerary is how you do it in call, of course.
That is also not cheap. I'm like, did you realize you bought a 9.5 hour itinerary that connects through Detroit to go, like, you know, you don't need to go through Detroit to go where he's going. Yeah. And he didn't. And oh, that's what I was told to buy, you know, and like, it's okay. And I'm probably just going to let him fly the cockamamie itinerary because whatever, he'll survive. But it doesn't end when they start being independent. It's like, how independent is allowed?
Right.
And
right.
One of the things that's been nice about doing a podcast for 5 years is that we started, and our tone and our theme of the podcast was sort of like, we're in it right now. I think I had a 4-year-old when we started the podcast, maybe a 3-year-old. I mean, she might have still been in diapers, and we were kind of in the scramble still. Now, 5 years later, I have a 9-year-old, and as my youngest, and my oldest is 13. And you do kind of shift your perspective a little bit in terms of, and I think we can offer that to our audience of, you know, you're going to face a lot of tough things and you'll be surprised by what challenges you and what doesn't. I had a son who had an emergency appendectomy last month. That's the kind of thing, if you wrote it on my future chart, I'd be like, that's going to be the worst day of our year. Yeah. It was weirdly no problem. I handed him over to the doctor. They took out his appendix. They gave him back to me. He went to the movies the next day. It was not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes the, like, you have an after school activity, even though you're really tired and you got yelled at with one of your teachers, and I have to convince you to go because it's a commitment, even though you really are burnt out and don't want to go, is a much bigger struggle. I think that understanding that this instinct that we have to say, I know what's coming and I'm ready for whatever's coming, that's another thing. It's a lot of improv. Amy and I both come from improv backgrounds, and it's a lot of improvisation because you don't really know where it's going to go sideways. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. This episode is supported by Nutrafol. Did you know that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women? If you're among them, you are not alone. Thinning hair is normal, but it's not openly talked about, so it can feel lonely and frustrating and sometimes even embarrassing when you're going through it yourself. Join the over 1 million people who are doing something about their thinning hair with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Oh my gosh, I am a heavy shedder. So if you are a heavy shedder, or if you are someone who's wanting to thicken your hair, I definitely want you to try out Nutrafol. I have loved using it myself, and I know multiple other people have used it and have found great results. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. To get started, you can take their hair quiz on Nutrafol.com, which will give you a personalized health plan based on your special root causes. Nutrafol is committed to helping you identify root causes of any shedding or hair loss so that you can really start to rebuild healthy hair in a way that is customized to you. So take the first steps to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code SHAMELESS. Find out why 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Go to Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code SHAMELESS. Nutrafol.com, code SHAMELESS.
This episode is supported by AquaTrue. Having clean, safe water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4, yes, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water. So that's why you got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers have a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers, which is what we have, take no installation or plumbing, and they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, and they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS, which can lead to potentially adverse health effects like cancer, endocrine system disruption, and liver toxicity, which is part of what makes AquaTrue so special, unique, and important in terms of how they are able to filter water. They also have water purifiers to fit every type of home. So like the installation-free countertop purifier that we have at our house, to higher capacity under sink options. They even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. So I'm so excited about our new AquaTrue. And here's the thing. I swear it's like a gentle reminder to actually drink more water every time you walk into your kitchen. So we are drinking more water now, and also more clean water. So more water that is more clean. It feels like a double win. I'm feeling pretty impressed with us. I feel like sink water, tap water becomes invisible at a certain point. And when I see the purifier on my counter, it's like many time a day reminder to like, keep drinking, keep drinking. So I want you to check out AquaTrue for yourself and for your family. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and that makes it a great gift as well. Today, my listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter the code Shameless at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use the code Shameless, S-H-A-M-E-L-E-S-S. AquaTrue.com, code Shameless.
Amy, what's the age range of your kids? So Margaret, you said 9 to 13.
Correct. Although I have to correct myself. My daughter turned 10 last week. So it's 10 to 13.
Okay. 10 to 13, double digits.
And mine are 14 to 19, 14, 17, 19.
Oh, so you don't have any, I didn't realize. I just assumed there was overlap. Okay. So you are like, now
yeah,
you're
like
10
oldest
to 19.
My youngest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so we sometimes have one the same age, but her 14 year old has turned and my 13 year old doesn't go until September.
Got it. Okay. So I'm imagining for listeners, and I want everyone, of course, to go subscribe to What Fresh Hell, but what I find
hugely important.
Yes,
take anything away from this conversation.
That's the only thing you need to know. Goodbye. So what I think what can be really helpful is when I'm in a really hard parenting moment and someone with an older kid, I'm not receptive to like, but it goes so fast and like, just enjoy it, blah, blah, blah. Like that annoys me. But no, if someone can tell me, if someone can tell me, and I actually have a good friend who has a teenage daughter. And when she says like, oh, like she just wants to be in her room and like doing her own thing. And like, she's starting this like separation. I can be way more patient when my 9-year-old wants to snuggle like all the time sometimes. And he's like on top of me and it's like 80 pounds of weight I don't need on me. And then I can be like, oh, but remember Katie told you like, in a couple of years, he's going to want to be in his room with the door closed all the time. Like, okay, let's come snuggle. And I think it can be helpful to see other people in a different part of the journey and really see like, okay, like I can be in this right now, even though it's annoying me and I can find it to be precious because I know, like I've now seen what is coming. And so I want to be in this and really be present in this moment.
And it's not all bad. You know, we always tell our listeners that it gets easier, definitely, when you're not, you don't have 3 kids in diapers anymore. And that, you know, my relationship with my now college freshman is definitely different. And I miss him, but it's not worse. I mean, when we do communicate, he has a lot more to tell me and our conversations are a lot longer. In some ways, I feel like I know more about what makes him tick than I did when he was still living under my roof last year and was trying very hard to separate during pandemic in the same house with us all the time. So that you don't have to be afraid. It isn't, you know, your relationship with your child once he stops wanting to cuddle with you on the couch. Like you can miss that, but new things will come in to replace that are different, but not necessarily less fun, less precious, sadder, smaller. That's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
And we just recorded an episode about this called Things Change and That's Okay. And one of the takeaways for me from it was we had an expert saying, you know, it's like, is it hard? Or people always say, oh, just wait, you know, little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems. And the insight was little kids, constant problems that are easy to solve. Older kids, fewer problems that are harder to solve. And I thought, that's right. That is much more what it's like, that the constant chaos, you will drag me to hell before you drag me back to having three kids under four. It was terrible. I did not enjoy it.
That's a lot.
Yeah. There were moments of magic and there were adorable, cute moments, but that part of my life was super difficult. Now, do I have kids who have problems now that they're confronting in these older grades that are harder to solve and the stakes feel higher? And like, okay, if the grades slip now, does it affect high school? There's other problems, but one of the things we talked about also, which I think is super important, is that we throw away our own agency in this. Like, we have some work to do too. Our kids are separating from us and we need to be working on separating from our kids, so that if you set up for yourself that the value of having a kid is them snuggling with you all the time, you are going to be very unhappy when you have a teenager. Yes. But if you can evolve with your, I love not having people on me all the time. I love my kids going up to their room and I have an extra 2 hours to work in the afternoon. And I really love sitting at the dinner table and hearing their take on what's going on in the world and their insights on things. And I found that I have enjoyed the shifting values of every age, but some of that is work. Like, it's a work on not constantly being like, but I miss the baby head smell. Like, okay, get a bottle of baby head smell at the store and then realize that your 9-year-old is a super interesting person who's really fun to talk to.
Right. That's exactly it. You can be sold this bill of goods by, you know, the Hallmark industry, not to pick on Hallmark, but you know, that whole kind of thing. They just need to stay little, you know, in Etsy wood on your wall, right? Like, may my baby stay tiny forever. Well, they're not supposed to. And it's not that it stops being fun or good once they don't stay little.
My cousin, who has now a senior in high school and then an out of college child, when as her kids were getting closer to their teen years, she said to me, she said, every year is the best year. She's like, I kept thinking like a birthday would come around and I'd be like, oh, but I'm going to miss this last year. And then like the new year would always be better than the year before. And so I carry that with me. And sometimes I'm like, I'm calling you out on this because this year was not that. Like, for me, like 7 wasn't better than 6. Like, 6 was a really great year. You got a little sassy in the age 7, but I do see that evolution where I'm like, oh, I can really appreciate like what is coming at every phase. But Margaret, I absolutely agree with you on the work one must do on themselves if you lean toward any sort of codependency, because like my son asked me if I would come to college with him and live in the dorms. And I was like, absolutely, of course. And then he asked if I would live in his house when he gets married and has babies. And I was like, absolutely, of course. Like, I'm loving this vision of like just lifelong codependence. And I have to check my, of course, all of this is joking, but I have to check myself to be like, how are you actually going to handle him like moving out of the house? Who are you going to be so that, and how will your identity be expansive enough beyond mothering that you have something to do with your life when he is not here? And I think that sometimes, especially if you have many children, because you have to be so in it, that there's not room for that evolution of identity or expansiveness of identity until there's this gaping hole. And that can be really scary.
Yeah. And I will say that's coming whether you want it or not. Oh, for 100%. All of us. You know, yeah. I have a kid who's very funny and I always joke him because he's horrible in math. And I'm like, math is not important to you because you're going to be a stand-up comic and your mommy's going to be your manager. And so you don't need to know math. It's fine.
We have a plan.
But the thing is, I know it's coming. I mean, we can joke all. I mean, my kids always say that. Well, there's a house going up across the street. And my daughter keeps saying, I wish they would slow down because I want to be an adult when it's done so I can buy it. Yes. And I'm like, okay, well, when you're an adult, we'll kick those people out and you'll live there. It's fine to live in that place when you're 10 years old, but I don't actually want her to buy that house. It'd be my name when she grows up, but it evolves and it's fine. But I do think it's inevitable. You can kind of worry about like, are we separating enough? That separation is coming for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about easy versus satisfying, because I think this is really interesting. And I think it's kind of a continuation about what we're already talking about. I think we have seasons or parts of parenting, maybe components of parenting that become easier. but there's a difference between easy and satisfying. And sometimes there can be an overlap, which can feel so magical. And then other times there's not overlap. Can we talk a little bit about, like, if there ever is this perfect season where we feel like we've mastered it all, like finally we've read the 16 books, we've put them into practice and we are done and we've like gotten our PhD.
Spoiler alert. No, but I'll let Amy start.
There are moments, right? Like you see, yeah. I'm thinking of like a moment last summer where I saw my daughter on stage in a play after a pandemic that had been hard on our family for many reasons. And of course, the opportunities to perform were one of the things that went away. And so she was doing this, it was in a parking lot, but they did this fantastic teen production of Shakespeare. And to see her like living her best life, like that was the perfect intersection of easy and satisfying for me. All I had to do was drive over there and park and then watch my kid living her best life for that hour. Yeah. That's terrific. And like the newborn years for me were not easy, but they were extremely satisfying. I think it comes and goes. Like this is the point, right? We're not moving towards like, okay, it's going to get easier and sadder year by year. No, it's not. It's going to get, you know, less time consuming and less satisfying. No, it's not a one-to-one. There are times when it will be excruciatingly hard and satisfying. There are times when it'll be easy and, you know, disillusioning. It comes and goes.
And yeah. I think people have really different set points. I'm a person who likes a lot of social interaction. So for me, being home with three kids who were little was not a nightmare. I mean, baby schmuggles. Like I liked them, I guess, but that wasn't to me like, this was my dream to like smell baby heads and like have kids who said regularly truck instead of regular truck. I don't know. Like that was... I got it, but it wasn't really for me. And this summer we went away and because I had three really closely spaced kids, I feel like we had a lot of years where everything was just like, you know, the robot eyes in a movie where it's like scanning and it's like danger, danger, blah, blah. That's how I felt my brain was for so many years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if we go to the zoo, like if I let one out of the stroller, they run away and then I'm stuck and I have to either abandon the one in the stroller. I was just constantly doing the math of like, how can I keep three kids safe in any given environment? And we went away to the Jersey Shore over the summer and we walked over to a restaurant and we got there and I realized it had been recommended to us that it was a kind of a fancy hipster restaurant. No kids menu. It was like young, cool people at a bar. And we kind of got to the table and I thought, we've made this horrible mistake. Like we're here with kids and it's going to be a night. My old robot brain was like, warning, you've made a horrible mistake. And then my kids sat down, they ordered stuff off the menu. We chatted the whole time. My husband and I had a cocktail. We were all, and I thought, I'm free. Like I'm here. This is where it was amazing to me that we sat at a pretty nice restaurant and had an incredibly nice dinner with my three kids. And I have found that getting out of the robot, like scanning the world for danger brain and moving into a place of like, we can walk through the world without that has been the relief of my life. I love it.
I love that example so much. I spent a lot of years, so we went through a lot of infertility stuff. So I spent a lot of years being, I don't know what the right word is. Well, I mean, disappointed, I guess, but disappointed that like we have one, which was the jackpot. Like we were so lucky to get one. But when we couldn't have more, this was like, I wanted that. I was jealous of that chaos that you just described, Margaret, where I was like, I want to be in that situation where like, I know I would have been an absolute disaster in that situation because I'm so controlling, but to be in that situation with three kids at the park and like all the chaos and whatever was like the dream that I couldn't make happen.
Right.
So the flip side of that, as we got kind of further into this and I had to like really come to terms with like, okay, what's the different dream you're going to build? And so we decided like, we're going to do things with this one child that we could not do if we had two or three or whatever. So we decided to go to Europe shortly after our last attempt at IVF. We booked the trip and we booked it for about, I don't know, 6 months out or something. So when we are getting ready to go, Vinny is almost 5 years old and we have to travel like 23 hours or something to get to Paris. And when we finally get there, he did not sleep the whole way. And he's not like a baby. So it wasn't like he was crying or anything, but like I couldn't sleep on the plane because he wasn't sleeping. And so I was just constantly like, are you okay? Do you need a snack? Do you need me to change your show? Like, so I didn't sleep at all. He's totally fine. I'm a wreck. Like I'm so tired and like disoriented. The next morning we go and take him to the Eiffel Tower where I'm thinking like, he's going to just be bored. He was obsessed. And that moment of satisfaction, like it felt so hard to get there. And it felt like we were kind of there because like this other plan in life didn't work out. And it was like all this mind stuff. And then we got there and I was like, I get to be at the freaking Eiffel Tower with my 5-year-old who thinks it's the coolest thing in the world. Like I'm in, I won, like peak satisfaction, but it wasn't easy to get there. It was like really hard. And it came at like loss and grief and all these other things. So I agree that like the intersection often isn't there. I'm like, what's easy and the steps that you get there. But when you have those moments of like, oh, this can be a really great thing. Like I get this because I don't have these other things. And so whatever the other thing is, it can be extremely rewarding, but also really affirming and validating for the position that you're in that moment.
Yeah. And I mean, so much of everyone's parenting journey is also about acceptance. You know, I mean, totally. I really wanted a lot of kids. I have kids who have very specific struggles and diagnoses and things that I would have never seen coming. And I would have, again, if you'd written on a piece of paper, I'd have been like, nope, skip that. Can't deal with that. That's not for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is something, as we continue to have discussions as moms in a common space, your struggle and my struggle are very different, but we have had a lot of the same experiences of like, I wanted a pizza and I got dumplings and I like dumplings, but it's not what I ordered. And so
yeah,
those kind of experiences, there's a commonality. And we try to talk to a really broad range of moms when we interview people. And, you know, you hear about people who have dire struggles. We talked to Amanda Knox, who was in an Italian prison for 15 years. Is that the same struggle that I've had? No, but it's amazing how when she talks about like running into walls and you don't know how you're ever going to get past it and it seems really daunting. Like, oh yeah, I've been there. I haven't been where you are, but I've felt what you felt.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to add anything, Amy?
Yeah, I think we try to give moms, particularly during these last 2 years, that your heart is hard, that I think sometimes one of the many ways that we're hard on ourselves is, well, I'm struggling, but not like so-and-so down the street, mm-hmm. not like my friend from high school, not like, so I don't have a right to feel this way. I don't have a right to feel like I'm struggling. Every single mom I know has had the struggle had turned up in the last 2 years because of the pandemic for many different reasons. And it's okay to struggle with whatever you're struggling with and not be like, well, I'm not Amanda Knox, so literally I have nothing to complain about. No, like right. We all have our things that we have to manage with grace.
Absolutely. I also have to say, when I saw that you interviewed Amanda Knox, my envy level went way up. Both live in Seattle and she went to my high school.
Really?
So I was like, why haven't I like Facebook friended her and reached out to her?
She was really an incredible guest and she struggled for a very long time with infertility and she now has a baby. So she has her own interesting mom journey on top of her whole interesting life.
Yeah. She's an incredible, oh my goodness, the things that she's been through, but yes, absolutely. Like everyone's been through struggles. They all look really different on paper and we all get to own them, whatever they were or mm-hmm. whatever they are. Like we get to honor them and own them.
And we get to share them, which I think is what we're all trying to do.
100%. And I think that the more that we share them, the more that we share our struggles, even when they feel small compared to other people, the more we can be, the more everyone can relate to one another. And I think that what's so key about that is when we can relate mom to mom, we take out so much of the loneliness and isolation that the patriarchy has conditioned us into by positioning us to have to compete with one another or to feel like we're never enough. And so I think that sharing our stories is so important so that we can be constantly becoming more relatable to one another and more connected to one another rather than looking at like, well, but she has it harder or she has it better. And then like just continuing to kind of box ourselves out of being in relationships with people, with other moms.
Absolutely.
Makes sense.
I want to know how each of you are showing up as a shameless mom. Who wants to go first?
What does it mean to be a shameless mom?
You get to pick. People are always very stumped by this question. And like they want rules and boundaries around it. And I give none.
I'll start. I think I'm showing up as a shameless mom I had my kids older and I'm really glad I did because as a younger person, I felt like I was tremendously invested in being perfect and not even being perfect, being what other people, random people who I chose at random thought that being perfect looked like. Part of that was being in entertainment. You've got to look right. You've got to, you know, you're constantly in this sort of like, am I pleasing to people in power so I can get this job kind of mode. And first of all, I made a very good choice in the person I married, because he's just like, I like you how you are. I like our kids, how, you know, he helps me stay grounded in this thing. But, and I think through doing the podcast, I have really been on a journey of accepting myself as a mom and really importantly, accepting my kids for who they are and not worrying so much about like, there's a secret path to getting these kids into Harvard that I can crack if I just figure out how people in France are doing it. I think that I've been able to really enjoy parenting a lot more by letting go of expectations around how any of this should be and just kind of improving along with how things are and finding a lot of joy in that.
I love that.
I think for me, it's been about accepting that I do know my kids better. As a parent, I know my kids better than anybody else, any expert, any teacher. And that doesn't mean that I'm like pick fights with the gym teacher. I don't. But I think, and I have had with each of my kids, teachers give me incredibly insightful things that that changed how I parent each one of my children, thanks to somebody who had them in a classroom for an hour a day due to their expertise. But the flip side of that is I think I wait for people to tell me what's next and what's right, either for my children or for me. And I want to be liked more than I want to be effective. And I am learning that, like, no, I do know what's best and I do know what's next. And I don't need to check with every single expert first and read that one more article before I decide that I do, after this time, kind of know what I'm doing.
So good. I want to thank you both for the work that you're putting into the world, because what I got from this conversation is that, I mean, I got many things. Kind of what I just got in summation was that the work that you're doing is creating space for parents to experience more confidence and more joy in the endless, relentless, sometimes satisfying journey of parenting. And that's a really big deal, because there's a lot of days where you don't know if that's possible. So thank you for what you bring to the podcasting space as amazing female podcasters and amazing mom podcasters, because we don't get recognized enough, but also what you bring to the world in terms of supporting parents. I think it's so, so significant. Tell people where they can find you, where they can follow the show, listen to the show, stalk you on Instagram, online, and all that good stuff.
Well, the easiest place to find us is whatfreshhellpodcast.com, which has all the different places you can listen to us and all of our episodes. You can search our hundreds of past episodes. We've got topics. If you're wondering about it, we have an episode about it. And then you can find us on any podcast platform by searching for What Fresh Hell. Our full name is What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. That's how you'll know you found us.
And we have a phenomenal Facebook community where people who listen to the show can talk to each other. That's facebook.com/groups/WhatFreshHellCast. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at WhatFreshHellCast.
Love it. Okay. I'm going to link everything up on our show notes. So if people go to shamelessmom.com, click on the episode with Margaret Abels and Amy Wilson, and you will get everything linked up right there. And definitely subscribe to the show. I've been starting to say this on my show more often as well. Please subscribe to the show.
Yeah.
It is really impactful for podcasters. And I don't always have podcasters as guests, so I'm going to take this as a little PSA moment. It's really impactful when you all, our listeners, subscribe and follow the show on whatever platform you're listening. So whether that is Apple Podcasts or CastBox or Spotify or wherever, because it impacts our numbers and our ratings, and it impacts how we get good advertising partners to bring you awesome deals and awesome brands. It's a big deal. So we just really appreciate any time you take that extra minute to subscribe. It just shows support for the show. So support.
And yes, it's free. Subscribe and sounds like it might be complicated totally or expensive. It's free.
No. It's totally free to subscribe or follow, depending on whatever your platform allows for, whether it's a subscribe button or a follow button. So thank you, Amy, for being here. Thank you, Margaret, for being here. This has been a long time coming. I'm so glad we finally did it. And probably have to do it again sometime. Oh, when you write the book, Amy, okay. I always tell people when you write the book, you got to come back. So we'll do it again.
I'll hold you to it. Perfect. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much for joining me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. I really, really appreciate you being here, and I hope you learned something new. As always, this conversation will be continued over in our free private Facebook group. You can join that group by going to shamelessmom.com/Facebook to connect with other shameless moms just like you. Additionally, if this is your first time listening to the show, know that we are here every Monday and Wednesday with a brand new episode. So make sure you subscribe. Go to whatever podcast app you use and subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. You can do that directly if you go to shamelessmom.com/review. That will put you in Apple Podcasts, where you can click on the subscribe button, and you can also leave a review. If you scroll down a little bit, you can leave a 5-star review. You can write a few sentences letting me know what you thought about the show. If you let me know how the show has impacted you in becoming a more shameless mom, you might be nominated to be Shameless Mom of the Week. Also, please share this episode. My goal is to help more mamas be more shameless every damn day. So please do share this episode. You can take a screenshot of the episode on your phone and then share it out on social media. Tag me at the Shameless Mom Academy on Facebook or Instagram. I'm quick to reply and eager to send you Facebook love and love to be connected to all of you. So again, thank you for being here. I can't wait to be back here again with you in just a couple days. And until then, no matter what you do today, make sure you do it shamelessly.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.